Continue through the book of Genesis this morning, Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2, commencing with verse 1. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. I know the Lord will bless even the brief reading of his word today to our hearts. What reaction does the word Sabbath cause in you? Is there an immediate sense of Jewish legalism? A thought of restraint on my life? Boredom for the whole day? Church all day? Does it cause a reaction? Well, it's Saturday. Or perhaps if you have a background in rock music, you're thinking of a rock band. I don't know what reaction it causes in you, but I trust that as we come to this theme this morning, we're willing to lay down preconceived ideas and consider this subject, as it were, like we were considering it for the first time, without any prejudice. Do you love the Lord to the point of saying, whatever, Lord, you want me to do, I'll do it. Whatever you want me to learn, I'll learn. However you want to rule my life, and hem in my life, I am willing as your creature and as your servant and as a son in Christ. What, Lord, wilt thou have me to believe? What wilt thou, Lord, have me to do? Or is our reaction this morning, I'll do anything but that? Or are we willing to say, thy will, Lord, be done? Can we listen to God's word wherever we are reading without prejudice, without preconceived ideas? I want us this morning to note the day of rest, or the Sabbath day, as it originates at creation, and that it is blessed to us from the Lord to facilitate our seeking and worshiping Him throughout our lives. The day of rest from creation is our title this morning. We need to notice that the origin of the day of rest, or the Sabbath day, or the Lord's day, is in the creation week. You say, where? I don't read of a Sabbath here in chapter 2, verses 1 to 3. Well, it's true, the noun does not occur until Exodus chapter 16, of course, especially in Exodus chapter 20. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. But if you transliterate verses 2 to 3, it reads this, verses 2 and 3, it reads this way. And he, that is God, Sabbathed on the seventh day from all his work which he had made, and God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because on it he Sabbathed from all his work. The noun is not found in this passage, but the verb is. And I transliterated it for you. The verbal form of Sabbath, and often you find this in Hebrew where a noun and a verb are the same radicals, the same letters. We have things that are the same as well. Comfort and comforted. And so on. Here we have Sabbath and Sabbath. Although they translate it properly, he rested. It is literally, he Sabbathed from all his work. So we know 6 literal days of creation and 1 literal day of cessation or rest. And so we find here the origin of the week of 7 days. And we noted last week that the other designations have something in creation to designate them. The day is designated by what? And you students in science are going to have studied this a lot fresher than I have. We note the day by the sun, right? The earth that spins around the sun. Correct me if I'm mistaken. Help me, you students. The day is noted by the sun, or the earth spinning around the sun, right? The month is noted by the moon. The revolution of the moon around the earth. Am I not correct on that? Sorry. Okay, the earth rotating around the sun. I'm not a scientist, nor the son of a scientist. So we note the day and we note the month by created spheres. We note the year, the earth, one revolution around the sun, right? Around itself, okay. But the point is that the sun, the moon, and the earth... Okay, all right. One revolution around the sun. Okay, we got this correct. The day is noted by the sun, the month is noted by the moon, and the year is noted by the earth. But how do we ever come up with a 7-day week? There's nothing in the sun, moon, stars, planets, or earth that could ever tell us of a week being 7 days. People have tried 8-day weeks or 5-day weeks or 14-day weeks, and they never have been successful. There's a hinge that tells us that a week is made of 7 days. And that hinge is the Sabbath day, the cessation day. There's no such thing as the 8th, 9th, and 10th days of the week. We note the 8th, 9th, 10th days of the month. But you only note the 1st, 2nd, 3rd, 4th, 5th, 6th, and 7th days of the week. And it's interesting how even the Lord speaks of the 8th day when he talks about circumcision. It was to be on the 8th day, and which was actually noted in the New Testament as the first day of the week. The 8th day was obviously a week after the child was born. But the designation 8th day, Noah was the 8th person and so on, speaks of something that starts over. Something that's a new beginning. Circumcision, Leviticus 12, was to be on the 8th day. It noted a new beginning. It was a picture. As we're to have our hearts circumcised, there's a new beginning. God wants us to be saved. He wants us to be converted. And so circumcision was to be that sign, that note of a new beginning in the Christian life. The first day, the Lord appeared 8 days later. It speaks of the 8th day. It was obviously a week later, and it was in the New Testament the first day of the week. It speaks of starting over. Christ rose from the dead. There was a new beginning. And so we can understand that the Sabbath would change, and I'm anticipating something later on in the message. The 7-day week is determined by God's Word, not by creation, not by the stars or the moons or the planets, but by God's Word. In other words, there's a religious connotation. There's a religious reason for this. The Lord worked 6 days, and often we don't stress this. We often stress the fact that one day is a Sabbath of rest. But we don't want to forget to stress that we're to do all our work. We're to have that work ethic on the 6 days of the week. If any man will not work, he shouldn't eat. So we should stress that the Lord wants us to have dominion over the earth. He wants us to subdue the earth. He wants us to have a good work ethic. And as He has delegated the earth to man, He wants man to be a man who labors as God worked. As God created all these things, He wants us to follow that example. But the seventh day, He rested. And how much of a testimony this is to the covenant of works and the covenant of grace. In the Old Testament, the covenant of works said, work first, and you'll find rest. You work 6 days, you found rest from the work. And the covenant of works with Adam was, if you continue to obey me, if you obey me, if you work for your salvation, you will find rest. If Adam had continued in his innocent state and had followed the precepts and had avoided the prohibitions of God's laws, of God's word, he would have earned his rest. And so we had works righteousness in sinless man, in sinless Adam as our representative. And it's a great testimony of the fact that God worked first and He rested second. And He told Adam, you work and you will find rest. But Adam sinned. And so the covenant of works was broken. And it was impossible for man to earn his salvation once he transgressed God's law. In the New Testament covenant of grace, we have rest enjoyed first in Christ. And then we labor and we prove that salvation by our good works. Good works are subsequent to salvation in the covenant of grace, not a means to it. And so we can see that the covenant of works and the covenant of grace are pictured in the numerical order of works and the Sabbath and the week. But we see that the Sabbath day had its origin in the creation week. Not at Mount Sinai, in the creation week. God worked 6 days, and He ceased His work. He rested on the seventh day. And secondly, we find He wants us to imitate that practice. The precedent for the Sabbath is in the Lord, okay? Its origin is in the creation week, and you probably have some arguments in your mind, but what about the fact that we don't find it being practiced until Exodus? And many people have said that the Sabbath was made for the Jew and it wasn't made for the Gentile. And all these questions go up in your mind because of statements that people make. I just want you to see that its origin is in the creation week. Because in chapter 2, verses 1 to 3, it tells us that God Sabbathed on that seventh day. The very first Sabbath day, the very first rest or cessation day occurred in the creation week, not at Mount Sinai. But we'll touch upon some other arguments later. Its precedent is not just firstly in a command from the Lord, but an example. We are to imitate the Lord. And this is part of what it means that we're made in God's image and likeness. We're not only to have a character like God, His image, but what does it mean, His likeness? We're to be like Him. We're to imitate Him. And this is one of the major reasons why we keep a Sabbath day, because we want to imitate God. We want to be like Him. And He rested after He labored. He established a rest day in one of the days of the week. And He said, you follow me? I want you to imitate me. I made you in my image and likeness. And so the reason why we have a seven-day week, because God established it, the reason why we have a Sabbath day primarily is because the Lord took a Sabbath day and we are following Him. We are imitating Him. Of course, He had to lay it down as a rule because He knew that man would sin and He knew that man would need more than an example. He would need a precept. But what caused its creation, if you will? It was God's word. It was God's action. He decided to make a seven-day week. And I don't know if we can get much beyond that. There are people that have proven that man was made in such a way he needs a rhythm of 7 days. He can't have more than a 6-day rhythm of work. He needs a 7th day of rest. He needs a day of rest every 7th day. In other words, man cannot survive with a rhythm greater than 6 days of work and a 7th day of rest. Men have tried it, but it has failed. Nations again have tried to establish a week less or more than 7 days, and they have failed. Why 7? Is it arbitrary? I don't know if we can altogether answer that. Did God give us a built-in maximum limit in our souls? I don't know. There's a machine. The machines are made to take so much weight or speed or height. I can't tell you. God never gave us the scientific reason. But I do believe there's something in the makeup of man's body and man's soul. I have several books that are on the Lord's Day on the Sabbath, and one of them is called The Sabbath, The World's Day of Rest, from 1915. Believe it or not, just a little over 100 years ago, and I think it was continuing even into the 1920s, they had yearly weeks of people gathering together from all walks of life, physicians and plumbers and preachers, politicians. They gathered to promote the Lord's Day in America and internationally. And they would have all these different professionals give their convincing reasons why we need to maintain a Sabbath day every 7 days. And they weren't just talking about, well, the Jew can have his Saturday and the Muslim can have his Friday. This particular book unveils the meeting that was to take place with Woodrow Wilson as its honorary chairman, though he wasn't present. He sent a representative. It was in Oakland, California. And you got to read just the arguments from the machinist's point of view. I mean, he even had an argument that it saves on the stress of machines, and he gives all these scientific reasons why even it helps to have 1 day of cessation from machinery. And doctors there's an argument that, look, I know the doctors have a work of necessity, but they have to be careful that they maintain a rhythm, and so that they need to get together and alternate Sabbath days where they have to work all day. It's interesting how and this is, by the way, a rabbi gets up and he says, most Christians in this country, I know, keep a Sunday Sabbath. This is 1915. If you would get up in front of representatives from all the Christian religions in the United States, today they would say most Christians think the Sabbath is Saturday. But this rabbi got up and said, you people are forcing us to close our businesses on 2 days. And you know what he proposed? That we make sure we close our businesses on Saturday so that we don't get ahead of them. He says, it's unfair for you to make us close our businesses on Sunday when we already closed them on Saturday. So his argument was not that so much that you're forcing us to keep a Sabbath on Sunday, because they wouldn't have. They didn't believe. He didn't believe that Jesus of Nazareth, as he called him, was raised from the dead, but that we would get ahead of him in business. But he notes that most Christians believe that Sunday was the Sabbath. This was just 100 years ago, when today people think we're legalists and Judaizers because we call Sunday a Sabbath. When the heritage of our nation was that Christians concluded that Sunday was the Sabbath day. But I can't answer as far as the inner workings of our body and mind. But I can say that from the Scriptures, by God's Word and by His example, He has established a Sabbath day for every 7 days, or one Sabbath per week. And that Sabbath is the hinge that causes us to continue the practice of our week. Did God need to rest? Did he rest because he was tired? Of course not. I remember watching some debates, and along the way, as I was watching some debates on YouTube about of Christians with Muslims and Christians with Romanists, that I happened to click on this late night host, and they were mocking all the religions of the world. And I think that radical atheist from England, what's his name, was on there as well. It'll come to me, but he was there on as a host on this late night program. And they were mocking the Mormons because they felt that they had concluded that the Indians were Jews that had come over to America, and the DNA had disproved that. And they were mocking different religions because of their establishment in the 1800s, and Russell because of his false corn that he was trying to sell. And they had reasons to mock these different religions. But you know, the only thing they could mock, they mocked our God by saying, these Christians that reveal that they have a God that needs to rest every 7 days. And they all laughed and guffawed about a God who needs to rest. If he was God, he didn't need to rest. Why did God Sabbath on the seventh day? Why did he rest? There are many reasons why people rest. Yes, you rest because you're tired. The Bible uses Sabbath for resting from their burdens in Egypt. That was one of the reasons, and I think a main reason, why God delivered the Jews from Egypt. Because the Egyptians wouldn't let them keep their Sabbath day. And God, remember Moses said, God has commanded us to be brought into the wilderness to keep the feast. What was he talking about? Some jumped to conclusions that he was talking about the Passover. Well, that wasn't the first thing he was talking about. For all those years, the Egyptians would not let them keep their Sabbath day. And God was bringing them to rest them from their burdens. He was reestablishing the creation Sabbath in Egypt. He wasn't establishing it for the first time in the Decalogue. He was reestablishing what the forefathers, the patriarchs, had practiced. God makes people Sabbath because of judgment. He says, I will cause her mirth to Sabbath, to cease. God causes things to be... The Bible talks about teaching. Ye shall put away leaven. Ye shall cause your leaven to cease. He's teaching us something when he puts something to rest. He maketh wars to cease, the same word. He maketh wars to Sabbath. It's providence that causes it. But the main reason here is reflection. Why did God rest from all his work? Because he was reflecting on his creation. Why do you take a vacation? Is it always because you're tired? You want to reflect on your life. You want time to concentrate. Why do you attend a celebration to reflect upon the person's achievement? Why do you take time to enjoy art? Because you want to reflect on it, the aesthetics and the skills. Isaiah 40 says, the Lord fainteth not, nor is he weary. He didn't rest because he was tired. The Lord was reflecting upon his creation to see how wonderful and how majestic and how beautiful it was. Was he not right to take time to sense his own skills? And he kept the Sabbath to set an example for you and me. As God rested to reflect upon his creative work and to enjoy his sovereign art, if you will, man is to rest, to reflect upon God's sovereignty over all his creatures, especially including himself, man. See, sinless man needed a Sabbath. Adam wasn't a sinner the first Sabbath that he enjoyed. Again, the very first day that man had on the earth was the Sabbath day. He was made at the end of the sixth day. The first full day that man had on earth was the day of rest. Isn't that significant? The Lord started Adam's life with a day of focus, a day of concentration. Adam, seek first the kingdom of God. Seek first the King of the kingdom, the God of the kingdom. The Lord wanted Adam to have a full day with Him and fellowship with Him. And that's therefore the argument is shattered when it says, we don't need a Sabbath now, we're already saved. Yet man in his sinless condition needed a Sabbath. He was still finite though. He would have tired muscles if he was working all day in the Garden of Eden. If he worked 6 days to control the growth and to replant plants here and there. I don't know all that was involved in his labor, certainly to control the growth, perhaps to prune the excessive growth, to transplant plants, to set plants up differently. Maybe he wanted certain plants in a corner, or maybe he wanted to mix plants. He wanted different colors. I'm sure he had all kinds of liberty. As he named the animals, that had to be a difficult work, even for a sinless man. The mind work. After 6 days of laboring, even innocent, sinless man would have needed a day of concentration and rest. The most spiritual of God's people on earth today, the ones that have had the best weeks of labor and fellowship with God, still need a whole day of focus and concentration. And may I say, this idea of reflection is so lacking in our society today. There's a huge deficiency in concentration and focus. We're from one thing to the next, to the next, to the next. As it were, we hear the Lord's cry again, Martha, Martha, thou art cumbered about with so much. Mary has chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. I find that generations that are coming now, they just can't concentrate. They're on one thing for 10 minutes and then they're on another thing. They can't focus. I guess they can focus on movies for 3 hours. But even then, there's a lot of rustling and getting up and down, and I can't imagine being in a movie theater and seeing how many people must go for popcorn and just be moving back and forth. Or don't they let you do that while the picture is still going? The Lord knows we need time to rest, to reflect upon God's sovereignty, His goodness and His glory and His grace. We need to love Him with all of our heart and soul and mind and strength. And the Lord's Day is perfect for us to get a restructuring of our life, a realignment of our priorities, time to confess our sins and to assess our week and realize, Lord, how far we stray from Him. A time to meditate, which is so seriously lacking today. A time to focus our thoughts and to realign ourselves in fellowship with our God. And so we find its origin was in the creation week and its precedent was in the Lord. We must imitate Him. And I'm not going to be able to finish this morning. But may I say thirdly, that it's a gift from God. Its blessing is immediate, it's sincere, and it's wholesome. Notice it says, God blessed it. God blessed it. Just focus right there for a moment. Don't pass on. It says, and God blessed the seventh day. What does that mean? Is it some sacrilegious rite on a day as the Romanists bless people? It says God blessed it to man. What does it mean? He blessed it. Well, Jesus said it this way, the Sabbath was made for man. It came into being for man. In other words, the Lord was cutting the tape and opening the door and saying, enjoy it. I've made this day for you. Come and enjoy. Take this gift. It's a gift from God. That's what he means. He blessed it. Whenever the Lord blessed something, it was immediate. There are people that say, oh, it didn't originate until Sinai. So the Lord blesses it in the creation week to Adam. And says, but Adam, wait a minute, it's for the Jews. It says he blessed it. Who did he bless it to? That's a past tense. It doesn't say he anticipated the blessing. He shall bless it. He blessed it. Who did he bless it to? To man. He wasn't even made yet. He certainly blessed it to male and female. But he blessed it. The tape was cut. The door was open. It was a gift from God for Adam, for Adam and Eve, for Enoch, for Noah, for Job, for Abram, long before the Jewish nation came into existence. Its blessing was immediate. It wasn't some sacrilegious thing. Every year this priest goes over to Hamburg and blesses motorcycles. What does that mean? What does it mean? The motorcycle is going to run better? It's not going to get in an accident this year. It's just this sacrilegious idea of blessing. It means it's a gift for you. When the Lord took children up in His arms and blessed them, what does that mean? His grace was upon them. He was there to say, I'm going to bless your children with salvation. I'm going to bless their lives. When we ask God for a blessing, are we asking it for 10 years from now? We ask the Lord, Lord, bless my child. Bless this prayer. Bless this service. We're asking for His immediate blessing. We're asking for His gift to us today. And that's exactly how it's used in Genesis. The Lord, it says, blessed be the Lord God of Shem. When someone asks, when someone blesses the Lord, they mean, blessed be the Lord now. Chapter 27, hast thou not reserved a blessing? Esau said to his father, he was saying, Lord, or Father, don't you have a blessing now for me? Matthew 5, what did Jesus mean? Blessed are you when men persecute. Does he mean, well, you'll be blessed, you'll have heaven one day? He means when you're being persecuted, take it as a blessing from God that your testimony is being used, that people are being convicted of their sin, that you're showing that you're a Christian. Revelation 14, blessed are they that die in the Lord. He means they're blessed immediately upon death. And when it says God blessed the Sabbath day, He didn't mean He was blessing it for the Jews in hundreds of years. He was blessing it, and that's exactly what Jesus meant. Jesus didn't say the Sabbath was made for the Jew. He said the Sabbath was made for anthropos. The Sabbath was made for man. And of course, there are people from Missouri that say, okay, give me some evidence that the Sabbath was enjoyed from Genesis 2:4 to Exodus 16:22. And I have to step back and say, do we dare to ask for evidence if God has laid down the example and the precept? If we have evidence for every single precept and prohibition so clearly stated other than example, then the Bible would be how many volumes? But we'll look for evidence. The evidence to me is whenever there's a week involved in someone's configuration. Because there's no way they could have maintained a 7-day week for hundreds of years without a Sabbath day as its hinge. And we find Genesis 7:4, in 7 days I will cause it to rain. They kept the Sabbath on that Titanic of a boat that wouldn't sink, though. In chapter 8, verse 10, he stayed yet 7 days. Why would that rhythm be noted by Noah? Exodus 7, 7 days were fulfilled since the Lord smote the river. Again, why would that rhythm be maintained if the Sabbath was not being that hinge? You see, throughout Genesis, the day, the week, the month, and the year are all reckoned. And those other three were reckoned by the creative objects, but the week was reckoned by the Sabbath day. The Sabbath was evidenced by the week. You see, Sabbath day is the goodness of God. Some say, well, what is the Sabbath if it's a perpetual thing? What does it reveal? I can understand that the first commandment reveals that God is a monopoly, that we must believe in monotheism. And the fifth commandment, we must revere authority. And the seventh commandment, we must be pure in thought, word, and deed. We can understand the logic of what the other commandments read. But what about the fourth commandment? What does it say? What does it say about God? What does it say about morality? How is it perpetual? It speaks of the sovereignty of God. You do it because I tell you. I set the example. You follow me. It speaks of the goodness of God. Would you say that my gift is unneeded? Its blessing was immediate and sincere and wholesome. It was an evidence of the goodness of God that He gave us this day. And when man profanes the Sabbath and dismisses it, and he doesn't want to keep it, he keeps it his way, he takes God's gift and he throws it across the room. He unwraps this gift and he says, I didn't want this. You ever seen someone open a Christmas gift or a birthday gift and they're disappointed by it? The Lord sets the example. He gives man a gift that will profit him. Profit him physically, mentally, spiritually, in every way. God is saying, I'm your creator. I give you a whole day with me. What does man think about that? A whole day with God. A whole day of worship. The natural man says, this is repudiating. A whole day with God, a whole day with God's people, a whole day away from my amusements, my pleasures, my pastimes, my work, have none of it. The natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. But what does God's servant, God's child say? Lord, we're not worthy of the least of your mercies, that you would give me a whole day to worship, a whole day to serve, a whole day to fellowship, a whole day to refocus and realign my priorities in my life. Lord, thank you for your goodness. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. The day of rest was from creation. It's an imitation of God's example. And may I say thirdly, and we close this morning with this thought, that its blessing was immediate upon Adam. It was sincere. And it's upon God's people today. Shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for making us, for creating us, a race of people. I thank You, Lord, for saving Adam and Eve. I thank Thee for giving them the gift of the day of rest, the Sabbath day, the Lord's day. How joyful Adam must have been to spend that first full day with Thee, with the God of glory, the God of creation, communing with You, Lord, asking You about Your character, about Your creation, about Your desire for His life, asking You for wisdom in His work, in His worship. Lord, I thank You for giving us this day. Allow the dust to settle in our lives, to consider our ways, to confess our sins, to realize how often we stray from You, how our hearts need to be revived. Thank You, Lord, for Your goodness. We are commanded, yea, invited, to take time to reflect upon your greatness and your glory. Thank you, Lord, for salvation that was wrought in your Son. And then when he rose from the dead, that he rested from that work of atonement. And we thank you, Lord, that now you continue to apply your blood as the Spirit saves. Lord, help us to see the Sabbath day as a gift from God. Help us, Lord, not to profane it. Give us wisdom, we pray, in our works of necessity and mercy, in our works of piety, that we would use this day for the glory of God and the advancement of your kingdom. Forgive us, Lord, where we have trampled upon this gift, where we have been unthankful for it, where we've allowed the world to trample in upon our lives. We pray that we would go home and meditate on these things, be revived in our worship of Thee and our obedience of Your Word. Lord, make us busier on this day in Your kingdom. We pray that You put people on our hearts to visit, to write, to call, that You bless us in Your Word today, in meditation, in our instruction of our children. Lord, bless us in our times of prayer. Prepare us to be able to meet the world in the power of the Spirit. Prepare us, Lord, to meet the temptations of the devil, though we know, Lord, that he will not cease from temptation, especially on this day. Help us to be strong in the Lord and the power of your might, and to put on the whole armor of God. Lord, we ask that you'd bring back the Lord's Day to Christianity. Bring back the Sabbath. I thank Thee, Lord, for the men that You've put on the radio that are promoting this sacred day. Continue to bless them, Lord. I thank Thee for believers that are having to think through these things again. We know, Lord, that You sent Israel into captivity because they repudiated Your gift. And Lord, we know that worldliness has come in like a flood in the church in the West. And much of it, Lord, is our fault for dismissing this sacred day, this blessed commandment, being unthankful to the goodness of God. Oh God, have mercy on us. Isaiah prophesied that you would magnify the law and make it honorable. Lord, have mercy and forgive our sins. And revive us. Revive sacred keeping of this day. And cause thy people to meditate on your creative work and your redemptive work and your providential working in our lives. That we would acknowledge thee in all of our ways. Lord, you would direct our steps. Hear our prayers. We need your blessing upon this little congregation and our family of churches. Lord, bless Christendom, even here in America. Bring back the Lord's Day for the glory of your name, for the exaltation of the Lord Jesus Christ. We ask this in his name. Amen.